not willing to let you go yet. We're missing you too bad. All right, let's pray for this service, the band and the music. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. Gentleness. God be with us in service today. Closer to you.
Thank you, Lord. I have a wonderful Savior today. And praise God. Worship God, reach out to Him on a day like this, and just going through a Thanksgiving period here that this country set aside to be thankful. And we can do that, and I'm thankful that we even have that opportunity, that that those thoughts are in men today, in people who want to be thankful. We should be. And we have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm just thinking about Brother and Sister Crow here being in church today. So wonderful to have them. And, we sang a song about "This Is My Life." And I know this is their life. You know, they serve God. And they're servants of God. So this is their life. And so I'm thankful that we have those kind of examples among us to know that we're on the right place. We're among the right people, if we just begin to increase, you know, in the things of God and allow God to give us an increase in our life, and you know, God can do that. He can help us where we can't, you know, where we can go our limit. You know, we have limitations on as far as we can go. But like Brother Smith was telling us this morning in Bible study, you know, there are some things, you know, that we can do. And God expects us to do it. And so we have to do our part. You know, I don't know. I guess, you know, God can go around us. But he wants us to do our part and show the effort. Show forth our effort that we can do. And God can do the rest. And I can't change my nature, but God can. You know, I was born with a nature that unless God help me with it, I won't be able to make the changes in it. But if I realize that I can surrender my life to God, and you know, sometimes you talk to people out here in religion, you talk about changing your nature. They think you're off in the left field somewhere. You know, because they think, you know, that you just confess your sin, you're ready for heaven. But anyway, we know better than that. We know that we're gonna have to make some changes. You know, not just so much us making the changes, but we're gonna have to be changed. And we have to do the changes that we can make, and then allow God to make the changes that we can't change. You know, some things we can't change, but we know if God can help us to go through the processes. You know, Sister Lynette's question to Brother Smith this morning about Paul. And it's very interesting because, we have to be willing to even want to know what God's will is for our life. You know, when Paul, I'm not sure if he went by the prophecies that was going forth on his life, but he felt, you know, I guess that he was supposed to be in Rome. You know, he's supposed to get there somehow. And he had some opposition, you know, shipwreck and all kind of things happen, and dealing with people, you know. I've been just reading that, so you know, it's fresh on my mind. But anyway, even on the ship, you know, where, you know, he giving them advice and they didn't take his advice, and he told them that we need to stop here for the winter, you know, whatever, and they wouldn't accept his advice. So he told them, y'all should have listened to me, you know. But anyway, they didn't. But anyway, even after they didn't listen to him, he told them, "So okay, let's do this. You will, if you all, you know, they want to bail out of the ship." And he said, "No, you need to stay in the ship." You know, they were going to get out, and he said, "No, you're going to have to stay here. You know, the ship's going to be destroyed, but your lives going to be saved." And you know, and they were thinking, "Well, the ship's going to be destroyed. I don't know if I want to be on it." But anyway, he said, "This is where you're going to have to be." He's in the ship. So anyway, you know, God knows sometimes, you know, you can't see beyond something, but God knows what's best for us. And that's why it's interesting to me to be able to see to see what God is doing, if I can, you know, see what God is doing. And you know, in doing so, we was talking about different things, how God protects his people, and you know, just here in the current events that goes on in the world, you know, all these storms, you know, like this storm that hit the Philippines, and they was talking about no storm, the strongest storm that ever hit land. And we, you know, got reports of people that have information about the Philippines that doing work, Brother Peach and different ones. And the reports was pretty good. You know, the ones that I heard was pretty good. You know, God's people again. You know, God, he said that David wrote this, never seen the righteous forsaken, okay, and never seen the seed begging for bread. So this is a statement. David wrote it, but I believe God meant it by this. And just listen, I would just listen to the reports that was given about the Philippines. You know, we, you know, I mean, come on now, it's an island, it's not a big land like America. And you think the people were wiped out, but a lot of people were destroyed, but all the reports that I heard, you know, about that, most of them was pretty good. They had some damage, and they may have lost some lives, church people, but I didn't hear of any. But anyway, the reports that I heard, and not just from Brother Peach, but it was some other people that had reports. But anyway, you know, if that ought to make a believe out of you that God take care of his people. You know, God love his people. And I mean, just one thing after another. I can remember, you know, we have tornadoes here in Arkansas. I mean, they get your attention. I mean, I remember Brother Wanigan's mom, when she lived up here at BB. A tornado hit BB, and it did some damage. And to her house, she was in the house. I believe she might have been in bed, was Brother Wanigan. But she didn't get in that. She didn't get hurt at all. And she didn't even know all the damage that had done until she tried to walk from one room to another, and she walked into a door facing or something. The door had got out of place some kind of way from the storm. But, I mean, you know, God took care of her. Bit of glass. And see, I mean, this is just, to me, it's a witness to me. You know, God take care of his people. You know, I mean, we, like Brother Smith said this morning, we're going to have storms. You know, he's not going to protect us from every storm, from every trouble that we have. He's not going to shield us from it. But I believe in the midst of it. That's what I'm saying. In the midst of the trouble. You know, we may have to go through the storm. But I believe God is concerned about his people. That's my confidence. You know, just the things that I'm seeing. You know, just check and look around. Just ask questions. Talk to people. You know. That serve God, that love God. You know, I'm talking about people that love God. Now, I know, you know, in this world, we go, you know, people that don't care about God, don't, you know, things, you know, we're just at the mercy of nature, really. You know, I was telling Brother Paul, we was talking about storms, and, you know, even a brick house is no match to a tornado. You know, I mean, but it no matter where, you know, God, we're going to have to put our lives in God's hand. We're going to have to somehow begin to trust God in such a way to where it doesn't matter. You know, I don't want to get out here and tempt God or even, you know, just say, well, God will take it, walk out here. You know, I mean, I don't want to be foolish, you know, in this world, you know. But God does take care of you. You have to do what you can do and let God do the rest. And, you know, I protect myself. If it's a storm coming, if I was blessed to be here in the church basement, that'd be the place to be, okay? You may not be able to get here. I remember one time Leanne and I was somewhere. We was going to eat somewhere, maybe Taco Bell or somewhere. But anyway, we had a bad tornado hit Little Rock in 97, 96. But we was on our way back, trying to get home. I didn't make it home. But anyway, I was coming by the church. And we pulled in the foyer. I mean, underneath the awning. It was raining, blowing. I mean, tornado wasn't right here, but it hit Little Rock. And we had to pull in here, and I come in the church and went out in the basement. And I think Sister George was here. I don't know why she was here, but anyway, she was here too. But anyway, this is a good place to be, I'll put it that way, if there's a storm. You may not be able to be here. You may have to be. Because one time But this is Little Rock. I'm not talking about anywhere else. This is here because it's been some bad storm. My wife, they had gone to a ball game somewhere, and they was over Paul McGowan's house. I don't know what they, I don't know what the, but anyway, it was bad. It was bad. But anyway, God can take us, take care of us. And I'm just telling you that. That's just my experiences, my witness, my testimony. But God can take care of us. And we've, you know, had some storms and troubles. But I believe if we hold on to God's hand, if we'll trust in him, you know, and he'll see us through. And he has seen us through. You know, we had that bad flood here. I mean, it was bad. They said the 100-year flood here in Little Rock. And so we've had some things happen to it. But I've just learned to trust God and put my trust in him and believe him. When I hear somebody tell about what God can do for us, I want to believe that. Increase my faith. My question is, I want to have my faith increased. I want to continue to believe God, because this life, it's a good life, you know, in spite of the storms and things that happen to us, it's a good life. You know, we talked about Brother Paul Thompson. We were talking about, you know, if God have given you life, you know, I should be thankful that I'm in among the living. I mean, if just having life, be able to live and be in God's kingdom in this world, for instance, and having just a reasonable amount of intelligence, sense about things, and just be able to communicate with one another, and that's some good things, some good good words and good attitudes, and talk to people, you know, that you know, live here. You know, I mean, we like I said, we have trouble, but this is still a good life, especially the part of living for God. That's the best part, is the living for God, is being able to live in a world like this and around people. I know there's, you know, they say it's wicked, people are gonna get more wicked, but to be able to be in a place and be around people that want to serve God, that want to live right, that want to do the right thing. That's what we're talking about, doing right. And I believe God sees that. I believe he sees our heart. He sees our intent and what we are wanting to do. In spite, you know, if you live, you know, you can go back. You know, I can't go back forward, Brother and Sister Crow, but they can go back. They can tell you about, you know, probably the Depression time, Great Depression, you know, in this country. And they went through that, and I heard about it. You know, we had, you know, but anyway, people that served God was at the best. They were better off. I'll put it that way. They were better off. People that were serving God, no matter what the situation was, it was a depression, drought, like Brother Smith was talking about this morning, storms or whatever the situations are in this world that we live in. Then the people that are serving God, God's people, you know, you look at, go back and talk, read the Bible about the Israelites, you know, their situation. They as long as they were serving God, as long as they was putting God on their heart and their lives, God helped them. God helped them through a lot of things. So anyway, it's good to be here today, and good to be among God's people, and to know that we have a great opportunity to serve God and to even have a life like Jesus, to live like him and to be overcomers and make perfection and even overcome our Adamic nature. You know, that's what our goals are, is to be like Jesus. You know, not so much like we like the first Adam, but we want to live to where we'll eventually be like the second Adam. You know, that, you know, he made the right choices, and we're learning to make the right choices, and we have such an opportunity to do that. So it's good to be here and to praise God and lift up his name. I know we have needs, so we might ought to pray. I know I heard Brother Doom. I didn't hear it from him, but indirectly, some good words about, I don't know, Brother Doom. I just heard good things. everything's okay. He praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's good. That's good. They're not going to operate right now, you know. So anyway, you know, give God some time. We were talking about giving, over that song, we were talking about giving God some time. So we need to do that, you know, give God some time. And maybe God is already helping him, you know. That's what I'm feeling like. God is already helping him. So anyway, let's remember, keep praying for Brother Durham, though. And I know Sister Smith, Smith's mom, we keep praying for her. She's doing about the same. Remember, Sister Ann Smith, and Sister Bonnie Smith. Sister Janet Kraft, right? Okay. Sister Ann Thompson, remember her. Pray for her. She's not feeling well. And Brother Joe's job. Brother Joe's job. All right. Sister Elsie, remember? Pray for Sister Elsie. Sister Joanne. Remember Brett. I mean, pray for him. You know, God can help him. Pat Arcus and her daughter Jeannie and husband Dwight. Remember them. Pray for them. Sister Crow. Yes. Yes. All right. Remember Brother Crow. Pray for him. God bless him. Brother Jerry. Jared's aunt, right? Okay. Remember that need today. All right. Any other requests that we might mention? Okay. So let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Ask that God will help his people. Lord, we thank you this day, oh God. Lord, we look to you, oh God, to help us. Lord, we ask that you help your people on these requests, oh God, that's been mentioned to me. Spoken and unspoken requests. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, God. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Jesus, Jesus. Touch each need, Lord. Each need. Each request, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Quick, this morning during song service, the first chorus really hit my heart where it said, He's helped me through so many things this whole week. This song we're about to play has been on my mind, and I'd appreciate if Brother Painter could put the words up while we play it. It's my desire, but in the chorus it says, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today. And then during this chorus, I was thinking this morning, all the things that he has truly, truly helped me with and helped me through and where he's brought me from. If you know my story and my past, and if you know what I'm going through right now with certain situations, he's helping me so much. And as I started to think about all the things he helped me through, the Spirit just kind of came over me, and I started crying and speaking in tongues, because it's true, the Lord has always been there and he will always be there. And so it's Hallelujah. My desire today to live for him.
Praise
for that good song. Sure was good to see Sister Bryant back on the piano. We've been missing her, even though she's been here. But I appreciate our song leaders and piano players. They add every one of them, each one adds in a variety that brings something good to the table. And I appreciate the theme of this service, and it's just a carryover from the Bible study of this walk of faith, you know, our walk with God and how we're responding or reacting to the situations that we encounter in life. And I thought I might read in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I love this scripture, but I'm going to start in the first verse just so I can help you, remind you of the setting. Paul speaking here says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." In other words, they didn't take things, what God was doing, very serious. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples. They are written for our admonition or our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation," here's the verse I wanted to get to, "there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation always or also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." Praise God. That's a good scripture, isn't it, to hold on to, that you're going to go through things. God's going to let you go through things that just is common to man. That's what our Bible study was about somewhat. That I know God's, you know, God may let us go through things. I was thinking, you know, I was telling downstairs how I went through a trial and in business, it cost me a lot of money, and it was because there's some things I needed to learn. And it just happened by chance, but God let me go through it. And I never did one time think that God was judging me I always considered that. I always wanted, you know, always in the time of adversity, the Bible says consider. Why is this happening? I always try to consider when I'm going through things, what's happening here? Is God chastising me? Is he correcting me of something? Is he trying to get my attention? Or has this just happened by chance? are. We gave the four things downstairs of why sickness can come into your life by chance. For the glory of God, for correction or chastisement, and to bring death. Those four things, there are at least four scriptural things we've got to show why sickness, why sickness can come. And in every other situation in life, all other kind of trials just about can happen that way. We found that scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that time and chance happeneth to all men. That, you know, there's some things that, like right now, we just came through an economical situation. I don't think we're completely free of it yet, right now. But we came through a recession. That happened, you know, the time of recession was on us. It affected all of us. You didn't even get to escape it just because you're God's child. Brother Talley was mentioning that Brother and Sister Crow came through the Great Depression. They didn't escape it either. I'll guarantee it affected them. I know my mom and dad came through it. And my mama to this day, she'll never leave nothing on her plate. And I don't leave anything on mine very often. Sister Smith always, she's got a rule that she will not eat the last bite of anything. She wants to leave something on the table so she's, you know, not eating everything. Have enough discipline, don't eat it all. She acts like that's why she's skinny, but I can just tell you she's got a different metabolism than all of us fat people. Because one time I decided, I thought, you know, she weighs 110 pounds. She's 5'2", and I'm going to eat what she eats, and I'm going to lose weight. And I ate what she ate, and I actually gained weight. This woman can eat as much as a big man and never gain a pound. It's enough to make you mad, isn't it, Sister Durham? Sister Durham always tells her, you know, you make me mad. People like that, you know, well, I won't say any more about her. She's not here to defend herself, but, you know, I can promise you she's not skinny because she's, you know, I mean, I've got up in the middle of the night and she'd be up eating pie, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning. And got chocolate sitting by her bed. And if I'd done some of the things she'd done, you'd just have to roll me around. It's aggravating. But I guess God gave her to me because I needed her. So, anyway, where was I at before I got off on that? Anyway, the Lord is, what was I saying? Oh, about the recession, yes, and the depression. Not her leaving something on her plate. Well, my parents made me eat everything on my plate. People came through the depression, did that, because food was hard to come by, and it didn't matter if you liked it or not, you had to eat to survive. And, they learned how to scrimp and save and make it on nearly anything. Mama could look like I could open the ice box and couldn't find a thing to eat. She could cook a whole meal out of there for a whole family. She could just make stuff happen out of nothing, seemed like. People learned that back in those days. But so time, I'm just saying that there's situations in the world that God's dealing with the whole world. And what time you live in, it happens to all men that are living during that time. You're not exempt. We're not exempt of the common temptations that happen to men, but God. I was reading the other day where Jacob, where it didn't, God's hand was on Jacob. Whatever he did, God just blessed him. And Jacob wasn't righteous in everything he done. He was a trickster, you know. He was quite a guy. But he was God's called, chosen man to carry on the progeny of the righteous line. And God blessed that man. And because he had a purpose in him. And God dealt with him. He had to get some of that trickster spirit out of him, but God blessed him when he still had the trickster working in him. And God does that in our lives. God touches us and helps us and blesses us. I was mentioning how I was shared downstairs how I went through a trial in business once, and it cost me a lot of money. But I was able, the thing about it is, God's hand was on me in a way that I was able to pay what it cost. That's something that I rejoiced in. I thought, God, you've helped me to come through this, you know. I mean, because, you know, God's able. He's able to strip you down to nothing. He can turn the faucet off. You know, God can bring you down to nothing if he wants to. And we ought to, you know, that's something I love about him is I know God's merciful and I know he's tender. I know he's a loving God. And so I know that if I'll serve him, whatever he takes me through is a reason. There's a reason. I don't care if it is by chance. God's letting me go through it. He could have prevented it, but he lets me go through it for my good if I'll let it work for my good. It'll work. You know, we use that scripture, all things work together for the good. Well, let me just tell you something. That scripture is not 100% everything working for your good if you don't respond to God properly. You know, God can deal with you, and if it makes you harder and you turn against God, get a mind, you know, to turn away from God, that didn't work for your good. But it'll work for your good to who? To them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I've always used that, you know, where in the book of Revelations where it said that how does that go? Where it said that the called, chosen, and faithful. Where is that at? Let's get that right quick. Get that. They that were with him were called, chosen, and faithful. My mind's not going to where it's at, but it's a familiar scripture with me. I'm just maybe the 19th chapter sounds right. 17. Yes. And the 17th chapter, and it's dealing with the 10 horns or the 10 kings. Verse 14 said, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And I've always looked at that this way, that God has called us. And you're his called. He doesn't choose you until you answer the call. God calls you. I was telling my wife today, I said, yesterday we were talking and I said it's hard to get people saved now in America. It's hard to find anybody that really wants to. How long has it been since you've seen anybody just run to the altar and fall on their face and just cry out to God to forgive them and save them. How long has it been since you've seen that? It's been a while, hasn't it? You know why? Because people in America, number one, they don't believe hardly anything they hear. Americans have been so, you know, our minds have been dealt with. Preachers have done so many things wrong, and they're, you know, people don't have, they don't have simple faith. It's hard to preach a message to somebody to get them to fall on their face and repent to God. They're, number one, there's too much help in this world. You know, people can't hardly get down low enough to where they need to call out to God. Because there's, in America, there's enough welfare. You can live, you know, you may be a pauper, but you can get all kinds of help. You can't get to a place hardly where you have no one to help you but God, where you can call out to Him. There's so many alternatives in life. But also, people's hearts and minds are so calloused over that you can't break through the callous, can't get through that to touch the heart. But those who God calls and does respond to the call, when they say yes, when you do throw up your hands and say, God, I need you. Please save me. Please forgive me. Take my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you say, God, I'll serve you. That's what it takes to answer the call. It takes a yes, yes, yes. Whatever God wants, you have to answer it with yes. I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. When God gets a hold of you, you will give Him a yes answer. If you answer the call. And when you say yes, God chooses you. So you can be called all day and never open the door. Somebody can ring your doorbell all day, but if you don't open the door, they're not coming in. And Jesus can call you and call you, but if you don't answer the call, you cannot be a chosen one of God. And then once you're chosen, you stay chosen as long as you're faithful. As long as you'll serve Him. As long as you'll be faithful to Him. As long as you'll keep saying yes. As long as you'll not turn away from Him. Thank God that some way He's got a hold of my life in a way that every time the tempter comes, He's made a way of escape for me. Hallelujah. Some way God's got a hold of me and got a hold of my life in a way when the tempter comes, I still say, yes, Jesus, I'll serve you. I don't care what I'm going through. I'll still serve you, Lord. It's His grace that's done that for me. Oh, I'm thankful for that today. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Hallelujah, I'm still here. Well, I know. You know, God knows what would be more than you could bear. But He said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. I'll make a way for you. I'll make a way. In the trial, in the temptation, I'll make a way for you to go through it, come out unharmed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for that today. And so I don't want to just be called of God. I don't want to just be chosen. I want to be called, chosen, and faithful. I want to come out on the faithful end of this. I know if I'll do that. I was telling somebody this morning, called me, said, how do you know when you've made it? I said, I hadn't made it, so I don't know. But I know that I'll know when I make it. I said, I got this. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight and I finished my course. And he said, therefore there's a crown of life laid up for me, and not for me only. How did it say? But all those that love his appearing. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is a, if Jesus was to appear today, it wouldn't fix you in your sinful condition. It might have an effect on you where you would renew your consecration to him or maybe your dedication. But it takes a process of God working in your life for him to appear to you, appear in your life. Just as his coming in one event is not what's going to fix you. Listen to this scripture in 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God. And we know not what we shall be, but we shall, how does it say it? But, there it is. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that don't mean when Jesus comes literally to appear. That's not what that means. When Jesus literally came on this earth, people didn't see him as he was. They didn't, then it didn't make them like him. But when he appears in your life. See, God, you have to see him. You have to get an understanding. That's what an understanding is. It's a vision. It's eyesight, spiritual eyesight, to see Christ, who he is, what he's become to you, what he's done in your life, and how he's changed you and transformed your mind, your life, and you become like him. It's a process. It takes time. But right now he's called us to be the sons of God. What manner of love has God bestowed on us that we could say we're God's children? We've been born of God. But we don't know what we're going to be. But when he appears. See, I don't know what a perfect overcomer's like yet, because I'm not there yet. But when I get there, I'm going to see him as he really is, fully. And I'm going to be like him. See, I'm a child of God right now, but I'm not like him fully yet. But I'm getting more like him all the time because he's appearing in my life more and more as he develops righteousness and his way of thinking in me. There's a scripture somewhat like this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the 22nd verse of 1 Corinthians, it says, but for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How? But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, he was the first one that was made alive from this human mortal condition. Jesus was a mortal man. And he had to put on immortality. He was the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So, Jesus, at his coming, You got to understand something about the coming of the Lord. Brother Leninger used to say, God, one time the Lord said, do you understand my coming? And he said, no, I don't guess I do, God. And God began to deal with him. That the coming of the Lord is to every man in his own order. The Lord does come in the end. The coming of the Lord in the end of the Jewish world started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus came back. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, me and my Father will come to you. I'm going to send you a comforter, and we will be in you. Even as my Father, I'm in my Father and he's in me, you'll be in us. We'll be in you and you in us. We'll make our abode in you. And he came on the day of Pentecost, but it took a process from A.D. 33 and a half on the day of Pentecost till A.D. 70 for people to move into that transformation. It started out with the process of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being born again, and overcoming the Adamic nature until finally the Apostle Paul was able to say, I've finished my course. I fought a good fight, and I finished. I want to say that. I want to have a testimony when I leave here. I hope y'all can hear me say, I finished my course. I want to finish my course. I want to stay faithful right unto the end and finish the course. And when Christ appears in you, every man, as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ they'll all be made alive. How? Every man in his own order at the coming of the Lord. Now the Lord's coming down here in the end of the Gentile world, the same way he came in the end of the Jewish world. He's coming in a restored church. And he's going to give us everything the early church had that will take us through the process of overcoming life and finish the work in us. There's a lot of problems right now in the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of problems in churches. God didn't do all of this. He didn't fix all this conglomeration of different churches, different faiths in Christianity. I'm just, leave the rest of a religion alone. That's all false religion. I'm talking about Christianity. God's people are divided out here in this world. God didn't do that. Man did that. There's a, if you'll turn to the 19th Psalm, let me rehearse that with you for a minute. I think it goes along with what we've been working on today. I want to get to the second half of it, but I'll go through hurriedly the first half just to get the setting. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You first get a picture here of God's natural creation. The heavens. Just go out and look in the sky. It declares the glory of God, and the firmament, the sky, the heavens, shows his handiwork. Just shows God's great creation. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Now, there's a spiritual side to these scriptures. The heavens is in the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. God's people is in a heavenly place. First, second, and third heaven. The outer court of the tabernacle is a picture of the repentance. And the holy place is a picture of God's divine order and a place that you and I, this process is to take us to. And of course, third heaven is where God is. It's scriptural to talk like that. Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one was caught up into paradise unto third heaven. He didn't go in, but he just caught up unto it. He was in the spirit and heard things unlawful for man to speak. But if there's a third heaven, and then John said in the book of Revelation that the first heaven and the first earth passes away. You don't want to be in that heaven when it passes away. There's going to come a time when God's finished with the work of the outer court. There won't be any more repentance. There won't be any more place. When God's finished with this work, there's not going to be a... You won't need to repent. You'll already have went through the process of becoming an overcomer, and you'll be in paradise. You'll be in a second heaven condition if you're here on this earth. And if you're an overcomer, you'll be in third heaven condition. And even where God and the holy angels are. All that's going to come together before it's over with. So if there's a first heaven and a third heaven, there has to be a second, don't it? Well, it's called paradise in the Bible. It's conditions. It's progressive work of God in your life. And so he's saying the heavens declare the glory of God. Go look back at the New Testament church. You can see those 12 apostles and the works of God declaring God's glory, manifesting it here on the earth. Is the natural heavens is a picture of that. And the firmament shows his handiwork, just the works in what God's doing in people's lives, shows that he's working, that he's a great creator to transform lives day unto day. They utter speech night unto night, showeth knowledge. That church turned that world upside down. There is no speech nor language where their voice wasn't heard. They went over that whole world, that known world back there, and they lit up that world with the gospel. And if they couldn't speak the language of the people that they were among, there was a gift of tongues that the Holy Ghost would speak in the gift of tongues. People could understand. You know what? That was manifested on the day of Pentecost. There was 13 different nationalities, or dispersed Jews that came from 13 different places that were speaking 13 different languages. And they said, how do we hear these men speaking in our language the glory, the wonderful works of God? We know they're Galileans. We know these people can't speak our language. Well, the gift of tongues was working, and they were hearing it. I've been in services where I've seen that. I'm right now thinking about a service I was in San Antonio, Texas one time, and somebody gave out a message, and there was a lady there from India. And she couldn't speak a word of English, and she told her daughter that was there with her, she said, that message, that was in Indian. And it was for me. God was talking to me. I've seen that work. My wife spoke in clear Spanish twice over in the Dominican Republic, praying for a sister. God talked to her. She prayed. My wife thought she was talking in tongues, and she was. She's talking in other tongues. It's Spanish. The lady heard her in clear Spanish. This operation of God in a divine order has no limits. There's no limitations that it can't operate in. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. That's Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. You first just see a natural picture of the heavens and the sun, you know, coming up in the east, running a race across the sky, and finally goes down in the west. But there's a deeper meaning to all this. His going forth is from end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof, or the judgment. When God gets ready to judge this world, nobody will escape his judgment. He judged that world back there, he'll judge this one. Judgment's coming. God help us to be in on the exemption of it. I mean, his judgment's working in us, And he's judging us worthy of life, and therefore we won't be in on the judgment of destruction. There's destructive judgment. God has a destructive judgment. It's not for you and I. It's for those who will not answer the call. The law, now he begins to turn this picture and starts revealing what he's talking about. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See, God's law that he wrote of Moses, it was no more than just the characteristics of God's nature. That's why no man can keep it. Nobody's like God. Nobody can do that unless God takes you through a process and transforms your life to make you like him. That's what Jesus came to be an example of. He came and let God work that in him so that we could get the picture and see the operation of it, that we can be reconciled to God. We can be redeemed from the curse and from the fall of man, and we can be restored to God. Jesus came to show that. To be a great high priest. To show that there's a way. There's a way back in the garden. There's a way to pass through the two cherubims and the flaming sword that's turning in every direction. It'll cut you. It'll cut Adam right out of you if you'll go through it. If you'll go through the process. The law of God is perfect. God is of a perfect nature. And the law is nothing less than his character. The characteristics of his righteousness. It's perfect. It answers to every situation perfectly right. And it converts the soul. It helps you to see what you need, what God, why you need God. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Remember, God had Moses make an ark of testimony. It was called the Ark of Testimony. It was God's witness in the earth. Brother, that they carried that wherever they carried that Ark of Testimony, God was there working with that. In that tabernacle, set up in there, according to God's order. God had a witness in the earth to man that I am God, the Creator, and here's a witness of me. My ways. I want you to put my law right in the ark of the testament and let it bear witness of me and how I'm working in the hearts of my people. It was a witness of God in the whole earth. Finally, it became time that it could become a part of all of us, not just the Jewish nation, but that God's witness. That God's laws, Jeremiah said, this is the covenant I'll make with them in those days. I'm going to write it in their minds, not on stones of, and put it in a natural ark, but I'm going to put it in their mind. I'm going to write it on the tables of their heart. They're going to be witnesses of me. The ark of testimony is in you and I today. We should be witnesses. What we're going through, it should. I'm telling you, it's time to open your life up. It's time to serve him. It's time to get really connected with God and let everybody around you and everybody you're connected with feel God's testimony in your life. Feel his witness in your life. Don't be ashamed of him. Testify of him. Tell him. Tell about him. Tell what he's done for you. Let people know there's a God in heaven that's working in my life, and he can work in your life. He can do for you what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to have, this line has got to go out into all the world. It has to go out in our lives. His testimony. It makes wise the simple. They're simple. They're naive. They're foolish. The world's foolish. But if they'll see the testimony of God, they can see his witness in your life. And they'll begin to see there's something about this person that I need what they have. I need what they, how they go through life and what's happening in their life. I've watched them. I can feel God when I get around them. And I need it. I don't only need it, I want it. The statutes from the Lord are right. A statute is a commandment. Let's read the rest of it. You'll notice it says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, colon. Now, continue my thought. The commandments, which are the statutes of the Lord, is pure, enlightening the eyes. See, when you hear the statutes, the commandments of God, the individual commandments, you hear somebody telling you what's right, sounds good, don't it? It rejoices the heart. You think, man, it's right. You know, I want to live right. And they also enlighten the eyes. It opens your understanding of why God has these commandments, why we're to have directions and instructions in the way of commandments. And he said, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, colon. Now continue the thought. The judgments. Judgments come. That's what causes you to fear God, is judgment. He's continuing his thought on the fear of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See, when you begin to see God's judgment, how it works, and how it causes you to fear, reverence. This fear is a reverencing fear. It's also a fear of God's judgment on you if you don't respond to God. I'm going to tell you something. If you're God's child, he loves you. And he will beat the hide off of you if he has to save you, because he loves you that much. Who was it? What's that old brother's name? Maybe it'll come to me here in a minute. He said his daddy told him when he gathered him up, took him in the room, got his strap out. He said, son, he said, I'm going to have to whip you. And he said, I'm going to lay it on you. And he said, I want you to know before I get started, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. He said, daddy, if it's going to hurt you that bad, let's just forget it. I wish I could think of his name right now. He said, you know, if this is bothering you all that much, then won't we just skip it? I don't know where that saying come from, but I guess almost every parent has used that. Told their kids, this is hurting me. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it hurt my mom or daddy either one near as bad as it did me when they whipped me. It didn't seem like to me that's hurting any. Of course, I was too busy dancing around trying to escape. It was one of them deals God didn't help me escape. You know, he let me get it, and then it wasn't more than I could bear, but there was times I thought it was going to be more than I could bear. But the judgments of God, they're true and they're righteous. This thing, let me tell you something, God can get in your heart. This can get in you so deep that you want it. You want it, you know, you desire it. More to be desired, I think the next verse. Are they than gold? Yea, than much fine gold. I mean, when you get this connection with God, riches of this world don't even stack up. Because you know, when you're going through this process with God, you know. There's no riches of this world that can buy this peace of mind, this comfort, this knowing the Creator and His purpose and what He's working in me and what He's prepared for me and where He's taking me. I've never been there, but I can guarantee you it's good. It's gooder than good. Song, I think, says it keeps getting gooder and gooder as the days go by. It's gooder than good. Because I like this life. I like life. I'm telling you, this is amazing. Just being, you know, to behold God's kingdom. See what God's doing. It's just amazing to me. Look in the 104th Psalm. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with the light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Here again you see the picture of the natural, but there's a picture, a spiritual picture too. How is just the Lord just, He's just showing us the different steps of salvation, the process of the heavens, the temple, first the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. There's three different heavens there. There's three different conditions that God's working a process in our life to take us from one to the other. Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds His chariot. You know, we're witnesses. We're God. We're clouds. God's moved. The Spirit or the wind has moved across water and drawn moisture up into the heavens, formed clouds to, to bring rain on the earth. And Paul called that those faithful witnesses from righteous Abel forward, he called them clouds of witnesses. God, they're God's chariots. You know, God's Spirit's moved on you. He's picked you up off the earthly, devilish, sensual level of this earthly condition of fallen man and put you in a heavenly place and caused you to gather together with God's people. And it's forming a cloud of witnesses that's going to rain God's blessings on this earth for their salvation. And God's riding us. He's riding on the cloud. We're His chariot. What a God. What a God. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind, His Spirit. Who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. Who laid the foundations of the earth that He should not be removed, that it should not be removed forever. You might want to underline that one. The earth shall not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Remember when He destroyed the world with the flood? At Thy rebuke they fled, the waters, away from their flooded condition. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. See, there's a flood. There's a flood of religion right now. And it's a flood overflowing, Jordan overflowing her banks. And it's flooding this world with a bunch of religious ideology. But at God's voice, His thunder, He's going to drive the flood back. God is going to make a way for His children. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys, the waters, unto the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. You know, God's going to judge this religious world. It's never again. It's never again going to flood this earth. God's never again going to let religion overthrow his gospel. Excuse me. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, just the natural picture of that. How God's springs, you know, they may run into low places, in the valleys. Thank you, Brother Phil. But they also run in the hills. Excuse me. And this gospel, this river of life, these streams of the Lord, they're going to reach into every area. They're going to flow in the place where God has sent them. They give drink to every wild beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. God is, he has a way of reaching all of us. He's got a way of going out through this earth and touching everyone that will respond to his call. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. He just, you know, it's just amazing when you get into the Word of God and see God, how God's plan is going forth. And how the Word of God has reached down the work and God's purpose. Saints, it's reached you. It's touched your life. He's working in us. He's working in our hearts and our lives. To me, it's marvelous that there's so many out here that God can't touch. He hasn't been able to touch them. Oh, thank God today he's touched my life. He's touched your life. It's your time. It's my time. Make good of it. Hallelujah. We're serving a wonderful Savior. Like that song we sang today. He's a wonderful Savior. He's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. He's working in your heart. He's working in your life. And if you'll keep serving him, one day you'll be like, you'll see him as he is, and you'll be like him. You know, I think every one of us could say, I'm not who I used to be. He's changing me. He's changing my life. He has changed me. You know, I tell people every once in a while, I say, look, you might not like what you see, but God's not done yet, so just hold on. If you could have seen me back when he first got me, if you don't like me now, you sure wouldn't have liked me then. But if you'll stick with me, he'll put some finishing touch on me. You'll like me before it's over. If you like him, you're going to like me, because he's working his character in me. The law of God is perfect. Hallelujah. It's perfect. His character is perfect. What a Savior. Praise God. Keep serving him, saints. Let him shine through your life. Let him work in your heart and in your life. Amen. Amen. (Clears throat)
there have Jesus down in my soul than to own this world with its riches untold. This life will vanish, it fades and it's gone, but in Jesus somewhere I'll live on. I would rather have Jesus down in my soul than to own this world, oh, with its riches.
For those that are gone out of town, they'll probably be traveling home today, so pray for their safety. Band practice at 4. All right, God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.